Welcome back. We trust the Lord is establishing you what we are doing today. Thank you so much, sir, for all the exposition you did.
That's right.
And your work in establishing the bride of Christ. More grace to you. Sir, you preached a message some time ago, precisely 2013, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
And seven years.
7 years, wow. Thereabouts. well, it was an interesting message that had so many reactions. In fact, when I mentioned the title of that sermon, a lot of people agree but we are bringing here because we want to understand and we want to really know. The title of that message is Deceived by God. And that's the topic of our episode of Rapture Watch today, Deceived by God. Sir, please, can God really deceive someone? Or has your revelation changed?
No, it has not changed. Because it is scriptural. When that inspiration came to me too, it brought fear upon me. That understanding, it brought fear. Can God deceive someone? Yes, God can deceive you.
What?
Let's put scripture to it. In Ezekiel chapter 14.
Let's put scripture to it.
Yes. Verse 9.
Okay, sorry, sir. Before I read the scripture, your revelation has not changed.
No.
And you're still saying, yes, God can deceive somebody.
That is why I said it has not changed.
I want to put scriptures to it.
Okay. Let me put scripture to it.
Ezekiel chapter 14.
1 verse 9.
And verse 9.
Yes.
And if the prophet be deceived when he had spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet.
Again.
I, the Lord.
Hey, start again.
And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet.
So, can God deceive a prophet?
Yes, sir.
According to this scripture.
Yes, sir.
And don't try to go to dictionary and look for meaning of deceit.
No, somebody can say this is just Old Testament. Out of the New Testament, under grace now. Does God still deceive under grace?
We will come to that.
Okay, sir.
If you don't understand the Old Testament, how will you apply it in the New Testament?
Okay.
So, because the same setting that made God to deceive someone, if that setting is in the New Testament, it will be the same thing he will do. And the truth about it is that there are many people now in the Christian faith that have been deceived by God.
By God,
by himself. God himself.
Now. Yeah. And I'll prove it.
Wow.
Now, hear what produced verse 9. Let's read it from verse 1.
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 14 from verse 1.
Yes.
Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me.
Yes.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of thy iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?
Again.
Son of man, these men have set up their idols in
their hearts. You see the condition, they have already made up their mind what they want to do.
Yes, sir.
But the Lord says, before you do anything, come and inquire. Okay? But they have already made up their mind on what we want to do. I bet but they not say, I did. Let me fulfill our action. Let me go and inquire of God. Okay, so what did he say?
And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophets, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. That I may take the house of Israel in their own hearts, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations.
Okay.
For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself.
By myself.
And I will set my face against that man.
After answering you, you see where I said fear came upon me.
Yes, sir.
After he has answered you by himself, what will he do?
And I will set my face against that man.
Against that man.
I will make him a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people. And ye shall know that I am the Lord.
Then verse 9 and verse 10.
And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet.
What will happen?
And I will stretch out my hand upon him. And will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel.
Let's just stop there. So both the deceived and the deceiver, God will judge them again after he has deceived them. So you want to look at the purpose, the motive.
Yes, sir.
Can God, he said, God cannot be mocked.
Galatians 6:7.
What the right man says.
That's right.
God
that's
cannot right. Be mocked. There are many of us that mock God. And the anger of God is to take you in your own craftiness. How do you explain this scripture to the froward? Now, if you go to, I think it's Psalm 18. It's Psalm 18. Now, see what it says, from verse 24.
Therefore, hath the Lord recompensed me according to my
according
righteousness.
To my righteousness.
Yes, according to the cleanness of my hands.
It's accordingly. The way we appear. The next verse.
With the merciful, thou will show thyself merciful.
Can you see?
Yes, sir.
With an upright man, thou will show thyself upright.
Okay.
With the pure, thou will show thyself pure.
And now.
And with the froward, thou will show thyself froward.
It's as you appear, that's how he will show himself to you. Now you have made up your mind. This is why we say you are mocking God. Let's take marriage. The perfect will of, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Maybe I need to preach this message again. You've made up your mind. First and foremost, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers.
That's right.
And the greatest yoke is marriage yoke. For a believer.
Greatest yoke.
For two shall be joined together. Yoke is joining.
Yes, sir.
And the two become one.
One.
I said, you should not be yoked together.
With unbelievers.
With unbelievers. Then here you are. Because the girl is fine. The girl is pretty. The girl from a rich family. All considerations are there other than the fact that she is an unbeliever. And you make up your mind whether they like it or not. In your heart, me, I will marry this girl. Then, here you are. But before we marry Shahu, God said we should go and inquire. Then you are going before a prophet to inquire. This is the girl I want to find out. You are presenting an unbeliever to God to tell you whether it's your wife or not. You are mocking God. So, actually, that word deceived by God is actually God placing you for judgment.
Man of God.
Do you understand?
So to be deceived by God is
because
to be judged
it
by
is
God.
It is an anger expression of God's anger. God is placing you for Him to judge you. So that don't use the application of dictionary meaning of the word deceive, because we are talking this verse 9 of Ezekiel 14. Let us know. You know. That it is for the purpose of judgment. So it's pushing you because to place you in a position where you will deal with you because you are insulting him. So here you are. You made up your mind. Immediately you come in before God. God will say, yes, it's your wife. And you enter that marriage. When you enter that marriage, you know how God is going to deal with you. That woman will now come and descend upon you. Imagine with all the wisdom that Solomon had. What was it that brought him down?
Women.
until even the kingdom was torn from him. That is God dealing with him. What is iniquity? You know the right thing to do, you refuse to do it. So, yes. You want more examples?
Please, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Another perfect example is that of Balaam.
Balaam.
In Numbers chapter 22, it's a long reading, but let me paraphrase it.
Okay, sir.
So you can read it on your own. Numbers 22, right from verse 1. Read it up the whole chapter. Balaam was a prophet.
That's right.
Had the ability to contact the God of Israel.
The prophet is here.
It's a seer. A prophet is a seer. And he got, Balak, the king of the Moabites, heard of the exploits of Israel on their journey from Egypt to their promised land. They will pass one country or the other. And he wanted to curse them. He went to meet Balaam. Balaam, these people are coming, please. Enter, oracle, enter, curse them for me. I will do this for you. I will do this for you. Balaam, according to his profession of seeing, he said, it is what I can do, nothing but what
God shows me
is what I will do. Give me time to inquire of God. He went before the Lord. And God told him, these people, they are already blessed. You can't curse them.
Hallelujah.
So go. This one, no way. No matter what power you have, whom God has blessed, you can't curse.
Amen.
Then he came and told them, lie, these people, they cannot be cursed. They went and told Balak. Balak decided to entice him with so much gifts, so much money.
That's right, sir.
Is that not the problem of the Christian faith ministers today? Exactly, sir. Why do they compromise this word of God? Can I tell you something?
Go ahead, sir.
That the same spirit of Balaam is what is also in most of these pastors that you see of, you hear of today. So, when Balaam saw these gifts, he said, wow, please inquire again. Wow. He has already known the perfect will of God. God has already told you, this is why I bless you. You are coming again to do vigil. All that troubling God. Now, God then said, go ahead. Oh, yeah, go and curse them. Now, he saddled his ass on his way going to where he would meet and curse them and do whatever he used to do to curse them. If you ask him, where are you going? What will Balaam tell you?
God said.
Did God say? Yes. Did God say it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, now God said it. But if God is saying you should go, an angel was waiting there to cut off his neck there with his sword. Why would God say go and then an angel is stopping ahead of him? Death was waiting for him. So that you will understand, that why did God tell him to go? It is because, and why did God? Because God was deceiving him. It's because you already know the perfect will, and you are saying you are still coming to disturb God again. So it is with all these ministries. The Bible forbids a woman from occupying leadership position under grace in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's written already. Why are you praying for God to use you, woman? Use you as a pastor. And you have people that are ordaining them. Because it is contrary to the word of God. The voice that you had is the same kind of voice Balaam had. Go, my daughter, I will use you and conquer the whole world. And you are going. God is saying. Which God is saying? He's deceiving you and positioning you for a judgment. Because it is not the perfect will of God. When you hear Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah made that statement. Judgment was coming. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 6.
Jeremiah 4, verse 6 to 10. Jeremiah chapter 4 from verse 6 to 10. Set up the standard towards Zion. Retire, stay not. For I'll bring evil from the north and the great destruction.
Okay.
The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on
his way. He's on his way coming to destroy them.
He's gone forth from his place to make the land desolate. And thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant.
See what the judgment that is coming upon them, but what happened?
For this, gird you with sackcloth, lament and woe. For the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us.
He's not going to. He's on the way. It will surely come.
Yes, sir.
And then what happened?
And it shall come to pass at that day, said the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes. And the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, Ah, Lord God.
When he saw what is going to come upon them, and it's on the way coming, what did he say?
Surely thou hast greatly deceived these people and Jerusalem.
Again.
Surely thou hast greatly deceived these people and Jerusalem.
Saying what?
Saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the sword.
Okay. Hey.
God has greatly deceived the people.
So, there were many prophets in the land.
My Lord and God.
Jehovah.
Preaching, it is well. It is well. Preaching to prostitutes, it is well. Preaching to foreigners, it is well. Don't bring your tithe and offering, you will prosper. We are going to take over. Mighty revival is coming upon us. We are the seed of God. We are this, we are that. And then they are there. Meanwhile, destruction is set to take place upon this earth. Then, so all these voices, these people were hearing, it is well, it is well, it is well, it is well. It was God that was deceiving them. Meanwhile, judgment is on the way coming. Isn't it the same thing with the story of Ahab?
That's true, sir.
In 1 Kings chapter 21, just for reference.
Oh, God.
Ahab went and murdered. You know, you can get that story from verse 1 up to verse 16. Ahab.
Yes, sir.
Because he needed the land that was beside his own property. And that property belonged to Naboth. He inherited it from his father. And you don't sell the things you inherit. And he came worried. Under the advice of his wife, Jezebel, they went and killed Naboth so that they would take over that. But as he was now going to take over the land after they have killed Naboth, God spoke to his prophet, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It was Elijah.
Yes, sir. The word of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Elijah.
Go and tell him. Yes, it was
Go down to Ahab.
And then gave him prophecy. And you can see that prophecy from verse 17.
Yes, sir.
Up to verse 26. Read it. Let's read it.
Okay. 1 Kings 21 from verse 17.
Yes. Yeah.
And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he is got down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, as thou killed and also taken possession.
Have you killed and you have taken possession?
And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick their own blood, even dying. And I have said to Elijah, as thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord.
Okay.
Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger, and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the first of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to walk with wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife steered.
Let's just stop there. Imagine this judgment that was hanging on him. And because God's judgment does not come swiftly, suddenly, man forgets very easily. But God watches over his word
to perform it.
At the right time, appropriate time, he knows how to ignite his prophecy to come to pass. And now that judgment is hanging on Ahab, then he now wants to go to battle. concerning the piece of land in Ramoth Gilead. And he decided that he will go and capture that by battle, of course. Then Jehoshaphat, the second king of Israel, came to visit him. And of course, we have the same, we are member of the same Christian Association now of Nigeria. You know, let's join hand. It's not every ministry you should join hand over any matter. It's not even every brother you should join hand. There are some prayers you have not seen some ministers who go to do family deliverance or so for certain families, and when they leave, the demon will come and attack them. There was one that Prophet Timothy went one time. They told him that every pastor that came here over the years, they never reach their houses. They will die. So be sure you don't go and join your hand with somebody, something you don't know what is following. Well, my emphasis is that the advice of Jehoshaphat, inquire before you go for such a battle.
That's right.
Ahab gathered how many prophets?
400.
400 prophets. Israel was blessed with prophets. 400 of them. There's a description of those 400 prophets. They ate from his hand.
Thank God.
They ate from him.
That's right.
He was the one taking care of them. When you subject yourself to these people, who are the ones you collect tithe from them, will you ever speak the truth to them? And whatever it is, you know, so that you'll understand verse 9 of Ezekiel chapter 14, where we read that he would deceive the prophet and destroy the prophet again. See the same setting fulfilled here. Because the 400 of them were all prophesying to Ahab, go, you will conquer. Go, 400 all saying the same thing. You need only two or three now for a matter to be established.
That's
but
right.
This one now is over-established. 400. But there is one that did not belong to the Association of Prophets. What is his name?
Micaiah.
You're a good student. Micaiah. The way they were prophesying, Joshua still didn't have peace. Is this all? He said, there's one that never ever says the truth. And we know the story. You can read that on your own. Micaiah came and gave a contrary prophecy. And they caught him, put him in jail. One of the prophets even slapped him.
Chief prophet.
The chief prophet. We know this very interesting setting. They are very, very interesting.
That's
because
right,
of time, I don't have to go into all these details. But the emphasis here is that 400 of them were prophesying. But God opened the eye of Micaiah to see what they were doing. Immediately, Ahab set his heart to go for that battle. God saw opportunity for his word to be fulfilled. And the Bible says Micaiah saw a meeting that was going on in heaven. How are we going to, what are we going to use to make Ahab go for this battle so that you go and die there? This one brought this idea, this one brought this idea, until a lying spirit appear, I will go and lie to them, to his prophets. A liar has a minister of lying.
That's right.
God say, ask him, how will you do it? He said, this is how I will do it. He told him, go.
Prosper. Blessed himself.
Okay. He blessed him to prosper in his ministry. God blessed him to prosper in his lying ministry because he could fulfill his purpose. So he went, and that was the anointing that was on all of them. Prophesying to a wicked man that it is well. Prophesying to a wicked man, like Nigerian prophets. Prophesying to the corrupt politicians that have rendered this country to the estate that we are in today. It is well, because they are eating from them. And He said, all these things that people are doing, it's a lying spirit. But they will not believe because remember, the way they are prophesying is such that, you know, they will believe that lie. And you know what happened? Believing that story, they went for that battle and Ahab died according to that prophecy. The first prophecy, you can read that in First Kings chapter 22. If you read it from verse 1, you know, that was what transpired. Ahab died. Ahab was deceived by God so that he would go for that battle and died. And it happened. So, can God deceive?
Yes, sir.
God, surely, can deceive.
Wow. It's interesting, no?
God can deceive. But Daddy, this question has been on my mind, and I'm sure it's in the heart of somebody watching. God deceiving, is God not seen as one also lying if we say God can deceive?
That is why I said everything God does is for a purpose. You know, he said you cannot mock him. That's why he said it is a judgment on you. Now all this, he said, knowing the terror of God will persuade men to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You see, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 13, there's another type of setting there.
Wow.
My God.
See,
yes, sir.
Did you notice that the whole 400 prophets were also killed?
Killed. Yes, that's true, sir. In First Kings, true.
They were all killed.
After being deceived.
After being deceived, and they deceived Ahab was also killed. Okay. From verse 1 to verse 5.
Deuteronomy chapter 13 from verse 1.
Yes.
If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods.
Verse 1 and verse 2 again, please.
If there arise among you a prophet.
If there arise among you a prophet.
Or a dreamer of dreams.
Yes.
And giveth thee a sign or a wonder.
And
the sign of the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee.
So would you say that is God?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Would you say that is God?
Yes, sir.
But now watch it now. After that.
Saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them.
Can you see? What he said exactly came to pass. Would you say he's a prophet?
Say so, sir.
Then after that again, what does he do? He begin to take you away from your God. But it is God that gave him that revelation. Now, the next verse.
Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet.
See the reason.
Or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth
you. He's using it to prove you.
To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your
soul.
That
is why I said deceit is a judgment. God blessing you. For who you are to judge you.
Deceit is a judgment.
Because there are people that no matter what, instead of to be guided by the word of God, it is something else that is bringing them to God. So there has to be a separation. God uses it to separate those who love him with the whole of their heart and those who don't. They will follow anything. So God will raise it to confirm. So you yourself, you will know, you know, that, you know, why God is judging you. You know, it's important we take that. They are the ones. I hope you know that every New Testament preacher is a prophet. You are saying God, say. Anybody that say God, say you are prophesying. When you are interpreting the Bible, you are prophesying. So in the New Testament, a preacher is also a prophet. So that you now understand Matthew chapter 7.
Matthew chapter 7.
21 to 23.
Everyone.
It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Uh-huh. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
So the emphasis is not the anointing. Mm-hmm. It's revelation.
The will of
to
the Father.
Know, and the will of the Father, yes, there is a perfect will of the Father and there is a permissive will of the Father.
Amen.
In teaching us to pray, he said, one of the things is that, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Perfect will, not permissive will.
Amen.
Each time there is a permissive will, God is placing you for a judgment.
Each time there is a permissive will,
I heard that one.
Yes. God is placing you for
a judgment. Because God is giving you a heart desire which goes contrary to his own desire. And your will is supposed to be buried in his own will. And Christ said, not my will, but thy will be done. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. We are to follow his pattern. People don't catch that.
Wow. So before we continue on this New Testament kind of deception, let's go on a short break so that we can digest
this
revelation. So that we can check whether we have been deceived. Okay, brethren, we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.